Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
And greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you.
So this is what happens with your brain on billionaire money. Marjorie Taylor Greene, speaking at a hearing, had this to say. This was flagged by Charles Pierce over at Esquire. She had this to say about climate change. She said, people are not affecting climate change. You're going to tell me that back in the ice age, how many taxes did people pay and how many changes does government makes to melt the ice? The climate is going to continue to change, and there's no reason to open up our borders and allow everyone in and continue to funnel over $50 billion or however many billions of dollars or trillions of dollars to foreign countries all over the world simply because they don't like climate change. Oh, my God. This is what happens when you take money from fossil fuel billionaires. I mean, it's just that simple. Green, by the way, also came under fire this week for telling Randy Weingarten, who's a friend of this show, that this was during a hearing. Randy is the president of the teachers union, told her that she's not really a mother because her child is her husband's child from a previous marriage. She's a stepmother. Can you imagine? I mean, that is like crass. Meanwhile, in Montana, there was a piece of legislation, a trashing trans people piece of legislation that was sponsored by a woman who, Representative Carrie Seekins Crow, a Republican, who said that, gave a kind of long and sad speech. You can find it on the internet, where I'm not going to play it. Where she said that her daughter wanted to become trans or something. That was the implication. And she said, for 3 years, she was talking about suicide, and I prayed about it all the time, but I wouldn't let her do it. Right. And then, you know, she was asked, you know, would you rather she committed suicide? And essentially that was the answer. Yes, I'd rather she committed suicide than become a trans person. It's just amazing. And our geeky science for the day, this is fascinating. This is a new study out of Germany. It involves 746 people ages 59 to 76. They tested them on vocabulary, memory, attention, and calculation tasks. And these were volunteers who had either between the ages of 13 and 30 or between the ages of 30 and 65 had learned a second language. And what they found was that in both cases, the people who had learned a second language young and the people who had learned a second age kind of older, both, quote, had higher scores on language, memory, focus, attention, and decision-making abilities compared with those who were not bilingual at those ages. This study, after this is two decades of work, suggesting that bilingualism protects against dementia and cognitive decline in older people. Now I know why you're studying Spanish, Sean. Sean got one of those little language apps, right? Yeah, and we're talking in Spanish half the time. Anyway, learn the piano, learn a second language. It's like, let's build our brains. Barron's, the financial magazine, ran an article yesterday that caught my attention. I wanted to share with you. I've been talking for some time, for about a year now, about how I am concerned. And of course, our sort of resident financial numbers expert, Larry from Los Angeles, has been pounding on this every time he calls the show. The chairman of our Fed, Jerome Powell, is a lifelong Republican and a former investment banker. The kind of hedge fund banker, the most toxic kind, which I believe is why Donald Trump appointed him to be the chair of the Fed, frankly. And I am convinced that Jerome Powell is trying to produce a recession. And in fact, Jerome Powell has owned up to this. He said, yeah, it's possible that what I'm doing will produce a recession. He says that he might take us down that road to try to beat inflation. And I get that. I mean, I remember Arthur Burns doing this and Alan Greenspan, and there's a long tradition of Fed chairs, trying to induce recessions by jacking up interest rates. And it usually works. It does produce a recession, and it does decline or reduce inflation. Although, frankly, I think this inflation would go away on its own, because I think part of it would anyway. The half of it that had to do with the pandemic would go away on its own. And the half of it that has to do with corporate greed, we need to deal with by breaking up giant monopolistic corporations or intervening in the marketplace with price controls or, at the very least, windfall profits taxes. I mean, American corporations, large American corporations, publicly traded American corporations, over the last 2 years have been more profitable than literally ever in the history of the United States. Why? Because they're price gouging. Why? Because they can. Because they're monopolies. But anyhow, the Barron's report, the headline over at Barron's is U.S. growth cools in first quarter as recession fears deepen. And they note, U.S. economic growth lost steam in the first quarter of this year, said the Commerce Department on Thursday, that's today, as the possibility of a mild recession brews while consumer spending weakens. U.S. gross domestic product rose at an annual rate of 1.1% in the period from January to March, down from 2.6% in the fourth quarter last year. This is it's a good sign for inflation. It's a bad sign for the economy. Bad sign for the economy means it's a bad sign for the reelection of President Biden. And that concerns me. Also, there's a new study out that tells us why the Republicans are working so hard to make it hard for young people to vote. In state after state, they are shutting down polling places on campuses. They are making it illegal to use your student ID to vote. They're tightening residency requirements, doing everything they possibly can to keep people under 25 from voting. Why? Turnout among voters between 18 to 29 has exploded. It was only 13% in 2014. It was 23% in 2022. It was 28% in 2018. It was huge. And they're overwhelmingly voting for Democrats. Democrats secured roughly 55% of the vote in many of these contests where these young people were showing up. In four of the six states with the highest youth turnout, Democratic candidates at the top of the ticket either neared or exceeded 55%. Tim Walz in Oregon, Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, Josh Shapiro in Pennsylvania. And therefore, at an exclusive donor retreat last week organized by the RNC, Cleta Mitchell, one of the top Republican lawyers, said that they need to make it more difficult for students to vote. She just came right out and said it. Her presentation was titled A Level Playing Field for 2024. Right. Scott Walker came out. He says, we've got to undo years of radical indoctrination or conservatives will never win battleground states again. What does he mean by radical indoctrination? School. We need to stop that. No more education. But 2022 exit poll shows young people favor Democrats 63 to 35%. keep an eye on this one. Mark in Portland. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
You mentioned before about the NRA. Just a quick note. The NRA was going bankrupt years ago until it started getting money, from what I understand, from Russian oligarchs that was pretty much helping to fund the Republican Party. So I'm wondering when the last time there was an audit of the NRA by the IRS
right.
to attract their money.
And then my
question to you is, you mentioned before about the defense attorney for Trump kind of staring at the jury box. And I'm wondering, as for intimidation purposes, I'm wondering, is there a way that, like in a perp lineup where there would be like a one-way mirror, that the perps can't see into who's pointing them out, but that the person that's identifying them can look and see what's going on, if that would be possible to implement something like
that's,
that. In,
that's
in a
something
case
that
like
they
that.
Did back in the day with some of the mob trials, is they would put screens around the jury so that they could only see the judge and the lawyers, for example. Excuse me. It wasn't so much the perp who was staring down the jury. It was what they would do is they would put guys who looked like gangsters, you know, with the whole zoot suits, you know, the whole bit, you know, and they would sit in the front row of the where the spectators could sit behind the defendant and stare at the
right.
jurors like, you know, I'm the enforcer for this guy and I'm going to get you.
Right.
You know, I fully expect that kind of thing to be happening with these trials, although we'll see. But yes, there is a precedent.
Would the jurors also be, they'd be anonymous, though, to anybody except for the administrators of the court, I would think.
That's
right?
Correct. Although if somebody gets a photo of them, facial recognition technology has gone a long way.
Right.
You know, so, if those pictures get published, then, you know, it's just a matter of minutes before, you know, the trolls on Facebook and Twitter figure out who it is.
Yeah, no, I think they should be shielded from that type of thing, from that intimidation. But,
I'm with you. But Trump is going to do it. I mean, you know, his mentor was a mob lawyer, Roy Cohn, and, Sean was looking this up last hour, and Roy Cohn was also Nancy Reagan's lawyer, in addition to the Genovese crime family and Fat Tony Salerno and all these other guys. It was incredible. Mark in South Bend, Indiana. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Tucker Carlson running. I hope he does. I like what you said. I hope he runs and just blows Trump and DeSantis and everyone else away. That'd get Joe Biden off his horse. That'd get him to get more progressive. I'm glad Robert F. Kennedy is running. He had an excellent campaign segment on C-SPAN Sunday. It was very good. And I think we need to get more progressive candidates to run on the Democratic side.
Yeah. Bobby
and
Kennedy
Joe needs to go.
You know, he may have some progressive positions, but his anti-vax stance and his weird conspiracy mongering make it impossible for me to even consider voting for him. I get your point, Mark. Mark, thank you for the call. Mark in Portland, Oregon. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind?
You know, I think an even scarier scenario for 2024 is if Donald Trump were to win the GOP nomination and then Tucker Carlson is added as his VP. I mean, that would just be just a horrific tandem, because talk about just exciting the base even more.
Yeah.
You know, an old fascist and a young fascist. That would just be an incredible, scary scenario. I hope people are listening about that, because Tucker Carlson knows the media. He knows how to manipulate. He knows how to twist. Any TV that he gets is good TV for him, whether it's even bad TV. But he always seems to know how to use it to his advantage. And but I think that would be a horrific scenario if that should happen. So
yeah,
what are your thoughts?
I agree. And I think that a Trump-Carlson ticket or a DeSantis-Carlson ticket or a Carlson-DeSantis right. ticket, or, you know, God only knows. I mean, you know, even a Tucker-Nikki Haley ticket. I mean, pick one, right? All of them are major threats to the future of democracy in the United States. If Tucker Carlson is anywhere near it, and he will be near whoever the Republican nominee is, I guarantee you that. He's going to be sticking to that person like glue. And these people are open fascists. These people do not believe in democracy in the United States. They want to turn America into a full-blown oligarchy, a police state. And it's Go ahead.
I'm reminded of that movie, A Face in the Crowd with Andy Griffith, you know, that came out in the mid-50s or whatever it was. Just the scary populism that the right wing can generate is just incredibly scary.
Yeah.
So I recommend that people watch that movie again and just see the power that these right-wing populists can actually attract and just keep pushing progressive ideas and policies.
Yeah, which movie is that you're talking about?
A Face in the Crowd.
I never saw that. That's an old one, right?
Yeah, it's in like the 1950s or so. It's really good. I mean, Andy Griffith is an incredible actor in that movie, but just completely shows you how an unknown radio type can get popular and then suddenly runs for office, and it's just, holy cow. It's just, but that's the thing that Carlson has. He's got the media, and that's just what's ultimately very scary.
Yeah, yeah, it's interesting. In fact, it makes you wonder. I mean, there's speculation that the reason Carlson got canned was because he said some really nasty things about Fox management that came out in the Dominion lawsuits. His executive producer was also canned at the same time. So there's some speculation that there's this lawsuit from another one of their producers that the two of them were kind of ganging up on her and being very sexist and all this kind of stuff. That's a possibility. But maybe Murdoch just got wind that Tucker was thinking of running for higher office. Who knows? Mark, thank you. Thank you very much for that call. But this is three Marks in a row. Mark in Sauk City, Wisconsin. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Yeah. And unfortunately, I'm not in Sauk City, Wisconsin right now that I'm doing the rehab thing, but it's just, I like what you're saying there. It's interesting that these strict constructionists on the Supreme Court right now that want to adhere strictly to the Constitution ignore the fact that Hamilton pointed out that there's no direct enumeration of the Constitution as the power of the Supreme Court to overturn law. They're frequently, you know, they say, well, Congress doesn't have the power to do that. And Madison gave lie to the whole enumeration thing that we might be called upon, Congress might be called upon to do things that aren't directly enumerated because you can't foresee all the problems you have.
Right, it's the Ninth Amendment.
It just seems odd that we have members on the Supreme Court right now that want to ignore the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, as well as the 16th Amendment to the Constitution, that they say, well, they don't like those, but that's a document they took an oath to.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that we have to hold these, sounds like Gorsuch, not too, we have to hold the Supreme Court to the standards that are set forth in the Constitution in terms of good behavior, because anytime you're not disclosing your assets and your profits and let's face it, bribes that you are taking, that you're in violation of the good behavior part of the Constitution.
Right. And the Constitution, Article 3, does say that Supreme Court justices shall serve during times of good behavior.
Right. And this is bad behavior.
Yeah.
And also, that's not directly enumerated in the Constitution that they have life terms. I mean, that
actually
you
want
to be a strict constructionist,
it does say that the federal judges have life terms. That's in the Constitution.
But does it say the Supreme Court members have life terms?
Well, they're members of the federal bench. So, yes. At the time the Constitution was written, there was no Supreme Court, and there were no federal courts. They had to be brought into being by law. Article 3 authorizes Congress to bring the court system into being by law, and Congress did that. But it has to be done within the framework.
Good behavior.
Yeah, of good behavior. The judges both of the Supreme and Inferior Courts shall hold their offices during good behavior and shall at stated times receive for their services a compensation. Blah-de-blah-de-blah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we're in terms now, we are in the terms how Hamilton closes out the Federalist Papers, that there's enemies to our general national government in any form at all, and they're trying to bring it down. Like, I don't have my copy of the Federalist Papers with me, but I mean he actually says that there is a threat to our national government in terms of that, and in terms of rewriting the whole Constitution as well. He gives warning to that as well in Federalist 85 that he knew he didn't have it perfect, but he knew that new attempts to rewrite the whole Constitution are stretch to our general national government and the republic as a whole.
Yeah, there's that whole stretch from Federalist 78 through 85 or thereabouts, where Hamilton's talking about the courts and whatnot, that's really worth reading. Mark, thank you. Thank you very much for the call.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital.
Crow portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Kent in Palos Verdes, California, listening on KPFK. Hey, Kent, what's on your mind today?
Hey, how you doing? I'm going to quote the economist here about Donald Trump and real estate. You said that he was good at real estate. You know, he's not really particularly good at real estate either. He made approximately $250 million from The Apprentice. And with that money, he went around the world buying golf courses. And as it turns out, those golf courses are actually all taking losses prior to their depreciation, which is absolutely colossal. Now, if you actually take a look at his real estate that works is really his building in downtown Manhattan, of course, which was manipulated by Roy Cohen and financed by his father. So he's really done nothing on his own. Now, the way he floats his lifestyle is his father was actually one of the richest men in America at the time. And he created an empire of over 20,000 low-income apartment units that are the bread and butter of the Trump existence.
Right.
So, I mean...
And subsidized by the federal government.
Really isn't... Well, yeah, I mean, low-income housing is funded by HUD.
Yeah.
So the man really isn't good at anything. Now, I take kind of personal offense up because I'm into real estate myself and I work hard on it and I make it work. And so when I hear people say that, oh, he's a real estate magnate, it's like, no, he's actually not.
Okay.
So the other thing I'd like to say is I'd like to push back on you a little bit. When your listening audience disregards the Republican Party, fundamentally as being haters, they kind of ignore the fact that about 30% of Americans are by nature kind of Republican. And
authoritarian, anyway.
there you go, Tommy.
No, I'm serious.
Please, let me just finish my thought. So how does that explain then getting continually close to 50 or maybe a little bit more than 50% of the vote? Because the fact of the matter is, most Republicans, most people, you know, who vote that way are actually more interested in the policy than they are in the hyperbole. And that's how people like Trump kind of come into being. His hyperbole, you know, that's a little bit of red meat for the base. But guys like McMaster and other serious, serious Republicans, you know, take a look at his policies, and that's how Republicans get their traction. So,
for example,
I just like to respond one thing to your first caller who said that, like, you know, Republicans are nothing but haters. You know, it's so simplistic, it's naive. And this is why Hillary lost the election for her comment about the deplorables. As long as Democrats are discounting Republicans as being haters, they're going to continually be in a cat fight or a dog fight.
I'm not believing that lost Hillary the election. Hillary won that election by 3 million votes. I get it. The 70,000 votes in three states flipped the Electoral College. And that only happened after millions of dollars was spent via Facebook from Russia, you know, to influence those votes in those states. And in fact, the head of Trump's campaign, Paul Manafort, was funneling secret polling information right to Russian intelligence during that period of time. But I don't disagree with you that we should take this more seriously than just writing them off as haters. Ken, thank you for the call. Hey, want to save
53,200 lives every year, eliminate 53,200 premature deaths, want to save the country $608 billion, want to avoid 25,600 non-fatal heart attacks, but debilitating, want to prevent 5,000 asthma-related emergency room visits, want to avoid 3.68 million days of work lost. What could America possibly do that would produce all of these extraordinary benefits? Well, according to some new research just published by the University of Wisconsin-Madison researchers in the peer-reviewed journal GeoHealth, there's one thing that America could do that would save over 50,000 premature deaths and save us $600 billion a year, and that's get the fossil fuels out of our electricity production and our transportation sectors. Just do that. John in Seattle. Hey, John, what's on your mind today?
These senators are going back to work, and Feinstein hasn't said a word. Yeah. She hasn't come out. And she reminds me of Ruth Ginsburg when she was in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I agree.
And Obama had the chance to replace her, and he let her go. But I think they met, and she thought she could handle the next four years or so. And she was just too old for the job. So
yeah. I agree, and I think Feinstein needs to resign, and I think Gavin Newsom needs to put Barbara Boxer in her place if she's willing to do it. If not, then maybe Gray Davis, and if not, maybe, I don't know, Gavin Newsom's wife. Just, you know, some placeholder, somebody who's just going to be there for a year and a half and is not going to run in the primary. I'm with you. John, thank you so much for the call. James in Baptist Town, New Jersey. Hey, James, thanks for listening to SiriusXM. What's on your mind today?
You know, I could put together a small coalition of folks that would turn around these shenanigans in Florida real quick, and that would be all the present and soon-to-be college football players who are black would just boycott institutions in Florida. That state would turn around on a dime.
Oh, that's interesting. So you think if black athletes, like college athletes, just refused to go to Florida to play games, is that what you're talking about?
Absolutely. You wouldn't even need the pros. Just the colleges itself would be enough to turn that state around the way they are about their various football teams. Although I'm the all-you sooner for that. But anyway, yeah, that would do it.
Yeah.
And, what we need for these soon-to-be Nazis, we need, you remember the Orgasmatron and Sleeper?
Yes.
If you could just stick them in there and give them about 5 seconds of what it would feel like to have lived in, say, East Berlin in the late 60s, just that instant sense of paranoia.
Yeah.
They'd turn around real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's it for me.
Well, I'm with you, James. Thank you very much. I think we're damn close to it. Stefan in Mentor, Ohio. Hey, Stefan, what's on your mind today?
The country today, it seems to me, is mirroring what was going on in the 1920s. In 1918, the Spanish flu came about. Everyone remembers that.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 2018 or 2019, I suppose, the pandemic hit here.
Right.
And it affected the whole country economically. And then to further add fuel to the fire, when Trump started calling the pandemic, the Kung Fu virus, it obviously raised up a lot of hate and sentiment towards the Asian people. And that's why you had so many Asian people being, harassed and attacked and whatnot,
Mm-hmm.
So basically the country is mirroring what was going on in the 1920s. Once the pandemic has taken root, the Spanish flu, then the nationalistic movement started to play a big part, especially in Germany, but in other places as well, Italy. and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that was the rise of Mussolini in 1922, wasn't it? I think when he marched on Rome, maybe it was 23.
Right. Right. And then and then as you say, as you had stated in your book in the on the crash in 2016, historically you had nailed it again by pointing out that stocks are teetering left and right. I mean, they're very unbalanced. Mm-hmm. Any trigger such as a trade war with China can potentially derail the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, I have a question. Have you heard anything about the class action lawsuit against Trump for being the enzymatic catalyst for going against the FDC and their knowledge in terms of how to control a pandemic? So 500,000 people have perished needlessly.
Correct.
Because of Trump's ways of doing things.
Right, right. So, I didn't know that there was a class action lawsuit, Stefan. Is there, or are you speculating that there should be? Or arguing
that
there
should be? Well, I've heard, yes, I am arguing that definitely should be a class action lawsuit amongst the 500,000 people who have perished. Mm-hmm. People who would be alive today with their families.
Yeah. Yeah.
People who are missing because of the tremendous mistake that one individual was allowed to carry.
It wasn't a mistake. What happened was on April 7th of 2020, the Washington Post and the New York Times ran front page major headlines right across the top, pointing out that that COVID was disproportionately killing black people. It combined that with Jared Kushner pointing out to Donald Trump that almost all of the deaths were happening in Washington State, New York State, and New Jersey, which are all blue states. And Trump decided at that point, it's black people in blue states who are dying from COVID, so we can now start ignoring COVID. It doesn't seem to kill white people anywhere near as badly. And that was within 2 weeks of that period of time. And I've written three or four pieces about this you can easily find. But within 2 or 3 weeks of April 7th, 2020, and just plug that date and my name into a search engine and you'll find it, you had not just Donald Trump, but the whole right-wing billionaire apparatus in the United States, the whole white right-wing billionaire apparatus in the United States that was pushing for the end to COVID, the emergency, to the end of restrictions, the lockdowns. It was when they started pushing people to get back to work, is when Trump started with his executive orders to push people back into meatpacking plants. It was all about race, Stefan.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, all into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. It's accessible from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Hartman with two N's. netsuite.com/Hartman. That's netsuite.com/Hartman.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Duane in Petaluma, California. Hey, Duane, what's on your mind today?
To deal with the Electoral College, just double the representatives in the House. The House can do it by majority vote. It eliminates the advantage that the small states have.
Would that not require a constitutional amendment?
No, the House sets its own number. It's already in the Constitution.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Okay.
Second thing, unstack the Supreme Court. Have a Democratic president with a Democratic Senate. Appoint 9 additional liberal Supreme Court members.
Yeah, you'd have to get past the filibuster to do that, but yes. I'm all in favor of it.
Yeah, but they would attempt a filibuster, and the Democrats would have to deal with that. And third, the 13th Amendment prohibits involuntary servitude. How's being forced to carry the child of a rapist not involuntary servitude?
Well, that's a question that could only be answered right now by the Supreme Court.
No, I think you have their answer. Not true at all. To come to enforce for a person from Texas to come to collect money out of a court in Texas because somebody had gotten an abortion in California, they filed a lawsuit under the Texas law or Florida law, to come here to enforce slavery would be a felony. We should arrest anybody who comes here and attempts to enforce a judgment.
Well, yeah, I mean, philosophically, I don't disagree with you. I don't think that there's any legal precedent, though, for what you're arguing.
And the next point would be, Trump gave aid and comfort to the people who are attempting to destroy our democracy. It prohibits him, as Robert Reich said, It prohibits him from serving. In California,
I agree, under the 14th
Amendment. A law that says you can't put Trump's name on the ballot.
Have they passed that law?
They need to.
Oh, yeah.
We need somebody to advocate that we prohibit a person who has gave aid and comfort to the enemy to be on the ballot.
Explicitly.
And any of their electors should be prohibited from serving.
Yeah. I mean, the 14th Amendment is fairly clear on this. If you have attempted to overthrow or engaged in or supported an insurrection against the government of the United States, you are not eligible for election to any public office, any federal public office. And actually, any public office nationwide. And what baffles me is why Trump is not being, why the Democratic Party is not aggressively going after Trump in this regard.
But to enforce that, you would either have it go through the courts or you would have California simply pass a law that says you can't be on the ballot if you've
If Trump's not on the ballot in California and loses California, how is that going to change the outcome of the election? He lost California before.
It gives an example for what should happen in Georgia after he's found guilty of crime in Georgia.
But Georgia's not going to pass that law.
Refused to secede Trump. They're not. That'd be interesting to see, but there could be.
I mean, you're going to have to find a state that Trump has won that's willing to say, he violated the 14th Amendment, therefore we're not going to let him run. And I can't think of any state that would qualify for that, including Georgia, which is getting more purple. Mark in Valley, Washington. Hey, Mark, what's on your mind today?
Well, first off, I think Tucker Carlson would be even worse than Trump.
Yeah, my point.
Now, your thing with the unanimous vote for Supreme Court justices, I think that might work in protecting existing laws, but I think it might be a nightmare for protecting states, because all they would need is a Amy Coney Barrett or somebody even worse that they know is never going to say this is an unconstitutional law and just ram it through the state. Where do you go from there then?
Well, then you go back to, when George Mason asked Thomas Jefferson, if the Supreme Court isn't the final arbiter of what's constitutional, who is? And Jefferson's answer, which became the title of Larry Kramer's book, he was the dean of the Stanford Law School, when he was basically saying the same thing I'm saying here, Jefferson's answer was the people themselves. That if the state of Ohio is passing laws that are blatantly unconstitutional, the people eventually rise up and say no. Or you get all the members of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, but that's only if the fascism doesn't take hold fast enough.
See, here's the thing: the fascism is being advanced by the conservative majority on the court right now. I'm trying to slow them down.
I understand
and it's
that.
Six to three. It's going to be that way it's going to be that way until long after I'm dead. So
I think we just need to expand the court.
Well, I'm not opposed to that either. And in fact, in my article, I mentioned, you know, there's a whole bunch of different options, term limits, expanding the court, et cetera.
This thing with the unanimous vote, it just scares me because it all would take is one radical judge and they could block all sorts of unconstitutional laws from being overturned.
Well, again, you're assuming that the court is protecting us against unconstitutional laws. I don't see the court as doing that. I see the court using the rubric of constitutionality to change laws that they don't like.
Well, that's Congress's job to rein that in.
My point. Exactly. And I also noted that, you know, if you get enough members of Congress who are willing to regulate the Supreme Court by way of saying, okay, you know, it takes a unanimous vote to declare something unconstitutional, then the problem, the immediate problem with that is that that would lock into place a lot of previous Supreme Court decisions that you might not like, you know, Republican decisions, you know, Dobbs and Heller and whatnot. But if you've got a large enough majority in Congress to do that, to regulate the court, you'll also have Citizens United would be another one. You'll also have a large enough majority in the Congress to reverse some of those egregious Supreme Court decisions. But I can't think of a single time that the Supreme Court has struck down a law as unconstitutional that I think was genuinely unconstitutional. Can you?
Yeah, I'm not
serious.
Arguing that. I'm
it's
not
a serious
the
question.
Supreme Court.
Yeah, I can't think of one. They use this constitutionality argument as an excuse to strike down laws that they just don't like, or that their donors don't like, or that the billionaires who take them on cruises don't like. I think we need to put a stop to it, is my point.
The Democrats hide behind institutional norms instead of doing what needs to be done.
I don't disagree with you at all, Mark. Mark, thank you for the call. Alvin in Greeley, Colorado. Hey, Alvin, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Good to talk to you. I wanted to talk about Biden running again and how reporters keep asking if he is too old. I keep reading all these articles. I have yet to read an article asking if Trump is too old to run again. He's only 3 years younger.
Right.
And
he's obese. If you're concerned about somebody dying in office, Trump is much, much higher on that list than Biden, who's an athlete. I mean, he's out there bicycling and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, they also questioned Biden's mental state. But it was Trump's doctor who had him take a test for dementia.
Right.
Now, while we were all laughing because he was bragging how he passed it, like he aced the SATs, no one thought to ask, wait a minute, why did his doctor have him take a test for dementia?
Right.
Because he suspected he had dementia.
Yeah.
You know, do you feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, I absolutely do, and I think you're absolutely right. Thank you, Alvin.
All right,
good point. Donna in Covington, Louisiana. Donna, we just have a minute here before the end of the hour. You got a quick one?
Oh, real quick. Precedent set by Roe versus Wade. As really, I cannot believe that the Supreme Court is ignoring precedents. Also, I was enthralled with what you said about foreign countries who imitate our democracy, and they handle it better than we do.
Yeah.
I have an idea, just an idea. I'm a former debater, and I'm 91 years old. But I think, especially the Supreme Court, if I'm not for a majority, I'm not for all of them voting for something, but I think we should make 7 out of 9 should vote for overturn precedents. We have to
That's
do
a good
something.
Idea, too. Yeah, a super
maybe
majority.
7 out of 9. Just my idea.
Sure.
I thank you so much. The first time I've watched you, I really appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Donna. I think a super majority is a good idea. It could be 2/3. It could be 7/10. Or 7 out of 9. I guess that's about as close to 2/3 as you're going to get. There's a lot of ways to do this, but what I'm trying to do is stop the court, or at least stop these 6 Republicans on the court, from further gutting our voting rights laws, from further, you know, diminishing our rights by claiming that the Constitution, in their minds, their brilliant interpretation, they're channeling the founders.
informs them of this. It's BS, and we need to put an end to it. And welcome back, Alfredo in Mountain View, California. Hey, Alfredo, what's on your mind today? Thanks for watching Free Speech.
Oh, no, thank you, Tom, for all the great work that you and your crew do. I really appreciate it. Learn a lot.
Thank you.
You were talking earlier about raising the debt ceiling and paying the debt and just how the Democrats or Biden, you know, just pay the bills and ignore the Republicans and go to and then they go to the Supreme Court. My thoughts on that are that, of course, that's just my personal thinking, is that the Republicans are bent in destroying Social Security, Medicare, and all the social programs out there. So I don't think that the Supreme Court, none of these extreme six judges that we have there, will I guess they will go along with that. But my question to you is, why, Joe Biden and the Democrats, they could just ignore the Supreme Court and pay the bills.
They
couldn't
could.
They do that? And,
they could.
Yeah, okay.
They wouldn't, but they could. And the Supreme Court has been ignored before. I mean, you know, in 1856, in the Dred Scott case, the Supreme Court declared that every black person in America, whether in the South or the North, was the property of a white person, and if any of them were free, a white person could walk up, grab them, and say, hey, you're mine now. And, you know, this was Justice Taney's grand decision in Dred Scott to, quote, solve the race problem in America. And, you know, it was ignored by and large by the governors of the northern states. And when Abraham Lincoln became president in 1860, he ignored it altogether. In fact, he repudiated it. He essentially said, well, okay, you know, it's terrible for poor Mr. Dred Scott. You know, he had to go back to Missouri and return to a life of slavery. But I'm not going to apply this to anybody else. You know, it's just like Andrew Jackson ignored the Supreme Court when they said that the Second National Bank of America was constitutional. He also ignored them when they said that the Trail of Tears was unconstitutional. You know, so
and it is part of the Constitution. We're supposed to pay the bills. But
yes.
Great answer, Tom. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Alfredo. Good talking to you, Jim in Kerrville, Texas. Hey, Jim, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. You have a wonderful program.
Thank you.
I have a question. I don't know that it has an easy answer, but I'd sure love to have your thoughts. For the last 50 years, we've off and on had Democrat presidents who were at the very least left of center, as I am, and we've had the opportunity to having both the Senate majority and the House of Representative majorities, we could have stopped the biggest detriment to democracy known as the Electoral College. That could have been abolished. Why, I ask, haven't they even attempted to do it?
In the last, I'm trying to think of who was president. I'm pretty sure it was 1977. Fact check me on this, Jim, but my recollection, it's been, I wrote about this in The Hidden History of the War on Voting, but I wrote that book 3 years ago. I think it was 77, might have been 76 or 75, but right around that time, we came within one vote of abolishing the Electoral College, of amending the Constitution, and getting a constitutional amendment passed in the Senate. It had already passed the House. And to end the Electoral College. And there was a broad consensus. Democrats and Republicans both thought that it was an anachronism whose time was past. Since then, you've had several Republican presidents who only won because of the Electoral College, most recently George W. Bush and Donald Trump. And I believe that there was another Republican who only won because of the Electoral College, but I could be wrong. I think George Herbert Walker Bush. But in any case, because of that, it has now become a totally partisan issue. And it takes to amend the Constitution doesn't require a simple majority or even a 60% threshold like to overcome a filibuster. You have to have 2/3 of the House and 2/3 of the Senate, and then it has to be ratified by 3/4 of the states.
And so no Democrat has brought this forward since then because it would just be a futile effort.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
There's no possibility that a Republican will. Republicans view the Electoral College as the one and only way they get to be in the White House. I mean, if it wasn't for the Electoral College, you wouldn't have had the Bush presidency. You wouldn't have had the Trump presidency. You would have right now at least a 7-vote majority or a 6-vote majority anyway, for sure, on the Supreme Court of Democratic appointees rather than Republicans. America would be a very different country right now if it wasn't for the Electoral College. And the Republicans know it.
Just as a quick caveat thought to what you just said, you might find this perhaps amusing. A friend of mine, in this discussion we're having, his comment was, my goodness, if you eliminate the Electoral College and have strictly a popular vote, we'll have mob rule.
Right.
As humorous as that may be, and it is, the thing that's not humorous about it is I believe an awful lot of people think that.
I know. This is the pitch that Republicans are making these days to defend both the Electoral College and gerrymandering, which is that we're not a democracy, we're a republic, democracy is mob rule, that we are instead a government of laws, not men. I mean, it's just a mishmash of quotes from you know, former founders and things like that, and makes no sense. But the bottom line is democracy is mob rule, but it's mob rule in a good way, not a bad way.
Yes. Sir, you're wonderful. Okay. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thanks for the call, and thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV. I appreciate that. Scott in Burien, Washington. Hey, Scott, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Rob. Tom, you were talking about DeSantis earlier, and you notice in the bobblehead video why he actually never said that he's running? Because Florida has a run or resign law where if he actually says that, even though you don't know if there actually has to be paperwork filed to trigger it, but basically in summary, if you're running for president under Florida law, you have to resign as governor. That's the main reason why they have to be informed.
And the Republicans are trying to change that law, by the way. There's a bill to end that right now in the Florida legislature.
Well, I mean, he's done everything but officially announced. It's just a total sham.
Yeah.
If it was the opposite way around where a Democrat was doing that, you bet they forced him to resign.
You betcha.
So,
yep.
You know.
I think you're absolutely right, Scott. And what's going to be interesting is to see how deep the support for DeSantis is, because the one way that the Trump humpers among the GOP, the Florida legislators, who would favor Trump over DeSantis, one of the ways that they can really stick it to DeSantis is to refuse to pass that legislation. So it's going to be a very interesting election this year. Scott, thank you for the call. Roberta in Maple Grove, Minnesota. Hey, Roberta, what's on your mind today?
Well, I just was harking back to when you said that the one thing that Trump did, he was a good, or maybe it wasn't you. I don't know. I get things confused, but I heard that, you know, the one thing he excelled at was real estate.
Yeah, I said, I, you know, in his business career, as far as I can tell, the only business that he still owns is his real estate empire. Let me put it that way. You know, he's failed at everything else.
Yeah, well, I don't think that he, you know, straight stack him up for other people in real estate. And I think he's laundering money all these years.
I agree.
I can't get over, you know, the banks giving him loan after loan after millions of dollars. And he's been laundering money. He's been in the back pocket of Russia for years.
I agree.
I do you remember when they, it was during the election, and they found a server in Trump Towers, Trump Tower that was...
It was pinging Alpha Bank, a Russian bank. Yes.
Yes. You know, where did that go?
That investigation died at the hands of Bill Barr.
Oh man.
I know. There's so many of these investigations. I mean, you know, so many potential prosecutions for that matter. That Trump appointee Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, has not pursued, and. Orrin Hatch suggested appointee Merrick Garland has decided not to pursue. I think Trump's getting away with murder here. I mean, you know, probably legally, probably literally, but certainly metaphorically, he's getting away with murder, and has been for years and years and years. And it's a bunch of his own appointees, and Republicans. It's just very disappointing. Nicholas in San Cristobal, Mexico. Hey, Nicholas, what's on your mind today?
Tucker Carlson, and vis-a-vis what you just said to the last caller, like you, I am not discounting Tucker Carlson in any way, although a lot of people seem to think that he's a wannabe and a has-been and he's a nothing burger. I absolutely disagree, and this is why. A couple of things I'm going to talk about very quickly. I hope the New York Times has an interesting article today, not entirely about Trump and Carlson, but it does come up. And they are quoting an anonymous source that they have vetted and says is true as being someone very close to Donald Trump, who says that Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump over the past 6 weeks have become closer than they have ever been, despite Carlson's texts and emails disparaging Trump, that all has been forgiven. And they have been on the phone apparently a lot over the last several weeks only.
Yeah.
That's
interesting. Can you spell Vice President Carlson?
You're beating me to the punch here. Add to that my belief in Sun Tzu's The Art of War always. And his advice was what? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So what could be better than a tag team match against Biden of Trump and Tucker Carlson? Right. It would serve both their purposes. And here's the awful part about a tag team. At the end of Trump's second term, anything that he has not accomplished to bring the country down, Tucker Carlson will receive the baton and finish the job off and deliver the final coup de grace against we the people.
Right, and he'd not even be 60 years old.
Exactly. And a quick personal question. Did Sean ever get the video to you about the Roland keyboard? I hope.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Did you listen to it?
I did. I'm still negotiating with Louise about whether I'm...
Just tell Louise to behave herself here, because I can already hear you playing a complete symphony with just your right hand, and I'm getting myself one because I'm prepared to write some songs that have been desperately trying to get out of me since mice ate and destroyed my piano 2-3 years ago. So I'm getting back to my music, and I encourage you to get on to your music, Mr. Hotman.
Yeah, okay. All righty. Thank you, Nicholas. Thanks for the referral. Good talking to you. I appreciate it. Paul in Ambler, Pennsylvania. Hey, Paul, what's on your mind today?
Thinking about the announcement by President Biden for his reelection bid. And one of the things that I believe that he needs to really lead with, as well as, you know, all good Democrats across the country and your listeners, you know, write letters to the editor and all that, is community college. You know, going back to President Obama, he came up with a plan at the same time he was nationalizing the national student loans. People really forget what he did back then. He was starting to get control over the financial mechanism that allowed people to further their education beyond high school, which he says is something that we need in the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
And I can certainly say by the year 2000, if you didn't have at least a two-year degree with something useful like IT, computer repair, carpentry, cosmetology, you know, going to a four-year college to become an English major was a waste of time. Obama, then certainly Biden's wife, have been promoting free community college as part of the...
Which is a good thing. Thank you. Brian in Albuquerque, listening on KTRC. Hey, Brian, what's on your mind today?
Just called in to speculate on Tucker and the future of the Republican Party. I think there's going to be a huge fight within it with all the different players. Just to speculate, I don't think DeSantis is going to get in. I think everybody realizes that Trump is a sick, psychopathic puppy, and he wants the presidency more than anything, and he'll destroy anybody that gets in his way. Oh. So DeSantis is going to bow out. Everybody else, I mean, Haley and Asa will stay in. But Trump's going to destroy the Republican Party. I think it's inevitable. Yeah. And unless he has a major health issue, you know, if he has a stroke or something, then it's a whole new ball game. It'll be unbelievable how much things will change. Anyway,
I agree with
you,
Brian.
I think
DeSantis is going down in flames because his personality is just so unlikable. I mean, at least Tucker can come across as likable, and so can Trump. I mean, you know, charming sociopaths is a thing because it's a, you know, it's one of the more common characteristics of sociopaths is charm.
It's one of their main assets.
Yeah,
is charming people. But I think the big fights in the next 2 to 4 years are going to be Congress and the Senate.
Yeah,
and that's, I think Tucker's going to get involved in that. And then once the post-Trump era begins, then we're going to see a lot of tough fighting, infighting within Republicans. And in Congress in general, it's filled with old people. In 5 to 10 years, there's going to be a lot of new players in big positions in Congress, and things are really going to kind of break loose.
Right.
And I just think that this whole Tucker thing, I think we should use it as a way to examine popular media in the United States in general, which, of course, is television and YouTube. You know, and then let's use this coronation of Prince Charles to be King of England as an example. Let's watch how many hours our corporate media will spend fawning over the UK royals, some of the worst people in the world, instead of addressing serious issues that are going on within the United States.
Yeah, well, it was a good one. We'll see how it shakes out.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit TomHartman.com.